Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. To another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact. I have the Bad Boys here with me. Sin City Steve, what's up?
What is going on, y'all?
Good, good, man. Loving life. King Lucky.
TikTok. Everybody pays the toll.
Okay, all right. And we got Simon Street out there in those streets doing a little Christmas shopping. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I figured I'd chime in for a little bit to see what the Bad Boys are doing while I'm shopping. So, how everybody doing?
We good. And we have Mr. Matt Michaels. What's up? Oh. Okay. It's that type of day, huh? Okay. So, guys, hey, this is, again, our podcast, and we're going to get right into things. Well, first off, we're going to talk about an important show we have coming up this Thursday, live at Boulder Station. Let me kick it back over to Mr. Matt Michaels.
Well, I would tell everyone that showtime is 6 p.m., however, we're going to see if it starts a little later, around 6:30 or so. We're going to give a little bit of time. The guest is going to be Sepha Fatu. However, Sepha is going to be filming a commercial. So he's probably going to be running a little bit late. So we're trying to give him a grace period of time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a nice little guest co-host in Miss Sandra Moon.
Okay.
And she'll be a fitting fill-in for Sin City Steve.
Yeah. Hey, it's holiday season.
Well,
so
if you can't see it right now, it looks like RVD with his tie-dye shirt. And I'm sure it's 420 somewhere.
Go ahead, Matt. You finish?
Yeah, just coming down to the Kix Lounge. And, you know, it should be a pretty fun and interesting conversation we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, come on down and grab yourself a drink as well.
Yeah, it's our last show of the year. So definitely come hanging out with your Bad Boys. It should be a fun and exciting show. Just like the topics I have for you today, and we're going to get right to it. Our first topic comes from the DailyDDT.com website, and it's titled The 5 Most Defining Moments in Pro Wrestling for 2019. I'm going to read those 5 off, and then I will ask you all what you think about that. Again, the 5 most defining moments in pro wrestling for 2019. Number 5, NWA returns. Number 4, Kofi Kingston wins the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 35. Number 3, All Elite Wrestling forms and starts airing on TNT. Number 2, The Fiend Bray Wyatt arrives. And number 1, the man, Becky Lynch, wins big at WrestleMania. So I just want to ask you all, would you agree with all of these top 5? Would you remove one? Would you add another? Do you agree with the moments but not how they're numbered, with number one being the top defining moment. Let me start with you, King Lucky.
I don't really have an issue with the way that it's laid out. I think those were all prominent points from this year. To say that one was bigger than the other, I don't know. You know, Becky Lynch winning at WrestleMania was pretty big because of, you know, the women going in and doing their thing. And then Kofi Kingston went in, which was, it was huge because of how long Kingston's been around. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, having this, this WrestleMania moment, if you will. But I think probably if I had to agree, or if I had to have one of the biggest moment off of that list, it would be All Elite Wrestling forming.
Sin City Steve, I know you're pretty big on AEW, mm-hmm. and all. What would you say about this list? Would you agree with all five? Would you change how they're numbered, or would you add or remove?
I would definitely change how they're numbered. I mean, I don't. I think that they did a good job of picking, you know, landmark things that happened this year.
Sure.
Ultimately, I would say that the order needs to be changed.
Okay.
I would put Bray Wyatt debuting the Fiend at 5. I would put NWA returning at number 4. I would put AEW at number 3.
Oh, okay.
What's that?
I'm agreeing. Go ahead.
Okay. And then realistically, I would say that, you know, Kofi winning the championship mm-hmm. at Mania 35 is number 2.
Okay.
And number 1, I agree with. But for me, Lucky, I think that, you know, you did miss the boat on one major thing. This wasn't just about Kofi Kingston, bro. This was a larger thing. For the longest time, people have ridiculed WWE about, you know, African American representation mm-hmm. and there not being a WWE world champion that was an African American. I know The Rock and, you know, people to whatever degree, but realistically, this was huge. And you know, there were YouTube videos of people actually watching this and being brought to tears, like grown people crying because of the social impact of this win. So I that's why I would put that there. The only reason why I would rank Becky Lynch above that is because this is the first time that there's ever been a, you know, the women headlining a WrestleMania with the, you know, the championships on the line. And it really was a show about them. And obviously I know I just obviously said what I did about Kofi, but the buildup wasn't so much about Kofi until they saw that they had, you know, something just organic that generated itself within the weeks leading up to Mania. They planned this out. So, I mean, you got to put Becky at 1, Kofi at 2.
Yeah.
Simon Street, what do you think of this list? Would you agree with Sin City Steve and keep the man at number 1 and Kofi at number 2, although that wasn't how this article put it. They actually put Kofi at number 4. What would you say?
I y'all can hear me, right?
Yes, you're good.
Yeah,
I would say it's somewhat a split. Real talk. I mean, I would say for the culture, mm-hmm. Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Championship. Yeah, we know The Rock is part black, but he is part black, and the reason why I say that is because this was huge because WWE overcame an obstacle. Mm-hmm. That for the longest time they were stuck as, you know, when are you ever going to back a black champion as far as not a champion, but as far as the WWE standard brand. And they did that. So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they finally did it and they proved, like, okay, we done it. We had
so is Kofi number one for you, or?
I will still say Kofi's number one, but I will tell you, if I can say Becky would be one, or would be 2.5. I don't even know if that makes sense, but I would say, because what she has done is going to leave a longer lasting impression as far as for women, because I feel like if you look at it as a scope across the board, I think that now, because of what Becky Lynch has done and how the WWE has backed them, a lot of women have been doing it before Becky Lynch. People are starting to look at other women doing it now. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tessa Blanchard. We're not even going to get on her because she's killing it. They done ran out of females for her that whooped their ass. So now she's whooping dudes' ass.
Right,
do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now other women are getting looks. And I'm not, again, and I'm going to switch this over back to Kofi. Kofi Kingston did something in the WWE. But you got to look at, you know, Jay Lethal. He's been a black champion at ROH. Mm-hmm. There's been other black champions at other organizations. So I would say, that's why I'm kind of split between the two. That makes sense to what I'm saying. Because what Becky has done is really just personified that women can do anything men can do. And we're going to roll, they're going to roll up the sleeves and they're going to whoop somebody's ass.
Got you. Matt Michaels, seems like we're hearing a lot of Kofi. We're hearing Becky. We heard All Elite. We haven't heard too much about The Fiend or NWA Returns. Would you agree with the list? Would you change anything about it?
Yeah, take The Fiend off the list. That's ridiculous.
Would you really?
Like, it's not a momentous thing by any means.
Well, what would you replace that character with?
Oh, I would say Ring of Honor going to Madison Square Garden.
Oh, okay.
That was a huge, huge fucking story.
Yeah.
Apparently, everyone's kind of forgotten about it because it was in March.
Right. No, you're right on that one. Forgot about that.
I know I'm right on that one. Of course. I said it. As an idiot, whoever wrote this list, you know, it's like, okay, you can put Becky and Kofi. That's easy to put on the top of the list. I mean, of course, that was their biggest moments of the year. You know, two huge highlights in one show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, you can almost say just put WrestleMania up as number one, you know, and that solves Simon's problem of having to split it between 1 and 2.5, whatever the hell that is. So,
hey, watch your mouth, bro. Watch your mouth. I know I've been gone for a while. Just saying. I was trying to be fair.
You know, I go back to Family Dollar and continue.
Oh, God.
Hey, Michaels, you know what? You're exactly right. I'm going to go to Family Dollars. I'm going to get one of them cheap 99-cent slippers. I'm going to buy about 12 dozen of them so I can put each one of them up your ass, and I ain't feel like I'm wasting money.
Oh, guys. All right. Well, look. Well, that's our number our one ring count tonight. Of the five most defining moments, let's jump over to our second ring count, which comes from WrestlingNews.co. And that is, another wrestler announces his departure from Ring of Honor, but it's just not a wrestler. It seems like wrestlers is bouncing. Marty Scurll, Colt Cabana, Shane Taylor. Guys, I'm going to start with you, King Lucky. What's the future, man, for ROH? I mean, they're coming up on 20 years, and they've been surviving, but they haven't had this much competition right now. So are they going to be able to still make it, even make it to 20?
I don't know. They're hanging on by a thread. When you look at, you know, the people that they're losing, I mean, if you look at those three names, you know, mm-hmm. Marty, we already knew that kind of the writing was on the wall. Colt Cabana, probably focusing more on NWA because he's got a hell of a run there. And Shane Taylor, you know, if you can believe what was reported earlier a couple months ago, where there were some things about him not being featured when he, you know, they were here. And then, you know, moreover, the text messages about the way that management views the talent, it's really bad right now. And I like ROH for being such an esteemed show and league is now put in a very vulnerable place. And so I don't know how much longer they have to go. They might want to look at a partnership with somebody else because it's looking pretty grim.
You know, Sin City Steve, and it seems like that ROH have made some really good choices in the past with some of the talent that they have. I mean, a lot of talent has, of course, have been picked up by either WWE or now even joined the AEW organization. So they're on the right track with the type of talent. But what do you think is happening with this organization that they seem to be losing what they seem to be pretty good at?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, Ring of Honor has had talent rushes in the past. They've had, you know, talent rushing in, talent rushing out, whatever the situation might be, but they've always found a way to build up new stars and continue on. The major difference this time around, though, is this time we are hearing things, some chicanery going on behind the scenes in the back of the house, if you will. So, I mean, there's a lot of dirty laundry that's getting aired. I don't want to speculate on, you know, how much time they've got left or, you know, what the situation even is. All that I'll say is that they have some issues that they need to resolve, and if they do, then they will bounce back just like they always have. If they do not, then we need to have that other conversation. But we will truly, we'll see what Ring of Honor does, and this really will be a huge test for them as a company.
Simon Street, we've been to a few of the Ring of Honor shows that has been here in Vegas, and we've had a good time, man. We enjoyed the shows. The crowd is hype, and it's just, it's one of the most exciting shows next to the big shows. What's your take on what you think is happening here in this transition?
It's something that I talked about a long time ago. I believe, whether it was just in person with y'all, I believe in the podcast, a couple episodes, maybe more than a couple episodes back, I talked about basically how now that, you know, AEW has arrived on the scene and, you know, a lot of these promotions are making big moves to either A, diversify, or to be able to try and figure out what's a way they can re-image themselves, repackage themselves, however the terminology you want to use it. And I feel that ROH may not have risen to the occasion. And kind of like I think I heard Steve say, Steve say as well, there might be some other things going behind the scenes functionally. So, you know, that could be it as well. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to this. In any business, whether it's wrestling, sports, or whatever, if as a business owner, you're not willing to always look around the corner, diversify your product, and find different ways to bring more notice to yourself and make and form a new niche, you're going to be left behind. So just like King Lucky and I think the rest of y'all are saying, you know, they're going to have to do something. The ball's in their court. You know what I'm saying? They're not dead in the water. They still got some talent, but they got to figure out how they're going to get new talent and figure something out because time's ticking. Tick tock, tick tock.
Matt Michaels, I mean, look, I don't think any of us want ROH to go away, but here's the bottom line. Are they going to survive this? If not, should they just die? If they're just not going to make it? Or should they, you know, something happen to really keep them going?
Well, you know what? It comes down to this. The talent's leaving because management is making the situation, you know, a problem. They're the ones creating it. So it has nothing to do with the product. It has everything to do with the upper management. And if upper management keeps, you know, doing what they have been doing to talent, talent's going to keep leaving. And if you have more exiting, you're going to have to fold. That's it.
Right.
No one's going to go to your shows. People are
well, then could you
not going to the shows?
Could you then make the argument then that maybe upper management is just trying to kill off ROH? Because why aren't they trying to make these changes to accommodate a better because environment?
They're upper management. Why there's no way they're going to admit they're wrong. My way or the highway type thing.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That's it. It's very simple.
Wow.
Well, you think Vince McMahon will ever admit that he's done stupid shit? No way.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Hey, you know? If I may real quick, I want to kind of quickly expound on what Michaels is saying, because he is right.
Uh-huh.
The only difference between Vince McMahon making stupid mistakes is he had enough money in the bank to make them stupid mistakes, turn his foot and pivot and go to a different direction or eat the loss in finances.
Mm-hmm.
It can't ROH do this the same? I don't think so. I mean, again, I'm ignorantly saying that. I don't know what their financial books are for the last quarter. I don't know what they finna turn in at the end of the fiscal year. But I'll be honest with you, I guarantee they can't keep making these mistakes. So that's all I want to say, because you're exactly right, Michael's on that.
Did you say fiscal year?
I don't think he heard you.
I'm sorry, he's in aisle six.
What was that? What'd he say?
He said, did you say physical year?
No, I didn't say physical year.
You said physical year.
Physical year is something totally different that he don't know nothing about. But I was talking about fiscal year.
There you
fiscal
go.
Year, not physical year.
All right. Also, well, let's go right into our third and last recount for tonight. And this came from the national.ae. And the title of that topic was called The Great Debate. And the question was, should pro wrestling be deemed a sport? So, every week, this website finds two people with opposing or at least different views on a topic to discuss the big and small issues. And this week, they asked two of their national biggest wrestling fans whether they think their wrestling should be considered a sport. Now, Evelyn, she believed that wrestling is it and shouldn't be considered a sport for the simple fact that the outcome of the match is predetermined. She adds, if someone is set to win, where's the competitiveness in that? Mike, on the other hand, he believes that the physical exertion and skill qualifies as a sport. He also says that in a different type of competition, different from combat sports, it most resembles. Instead of testing one another's skills in a real fight, professional wrestlers are competing against one another to determine who can best entertain fans. King Lucky, we're going to finally put this to a close here. Should pro wrestling be deemed a sport?
The answer is no.
Mm. Okay.
It, you know, a lot of what was said already is that it's predetermined.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone to me would eliminate it from being a sport. You know, there's certain places that have elements of it, like AEW wants to have wins and losses and things like that. I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, you can't justify putting pro wrestling in as a sport. The physicality of it is definitely, it rivals all of the major sports because these men and women train tremendously, you know, but no, there's no way you can deem it a sport.
Sin City Steve, I mean, wrestling in terms is an actual sport. And a lot of the guys in professional wrestling, they know how to do wrestling that is taught in the competitive arenas that are out there, but they also entertain. Would you not agree in any way or fashion that this cannot be a sport?
So the thing is, ultimately, I agree. It okay. actually should not be considered a quote unquote sport.
Okay.
Because of the predetermined factor and the fact that at the end of the day, it is a choreographed dance. Okay. For lack of a better description, mm-hmm. it is exactly that. So, I mean, if you want to actually award, like, you know, match of the night and stuff like that, or, you know, legitimately give the championships to people that have the best matches on the show,
yeah,
then it's not going to be that way. So realistically, you know, I would liken it to exactly that, you know, okay. a choreographed dance routine. And until there's a legitimate aspect to it where the outcomes are not predetermined and the people in the ring are actually competing against one another,
okay,
then it should not be considered a sport. Yeah, that's brutally honest.
Yeah.
It doesn't diminish, you know, the capabilities that those ladies and gentlemen do in the ring. Because what they do is obviously amazing. Otherwise, we wouldn't sit here and talk about it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, no, it is not a quote-unquote sport.
Simon Street, the term sports entertainment, if you were to use that, can it still be considered a sport, or would you still consider it more entertainment?
I know what WWE gonna tell you. Sorry, I'm breathing. I had to quickly run away from the Christmas music.
Yes.
It was loud as shit. Anyways, WWE is going to tell you it's always going to be entertainment.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we do. I agree with Sensei Steve. For me, until you can actually doctor up some kind of a point system that then, you know, one opponent and the other opponent can go against each other, it's not really a sport.
Okay.
So it's real talk. Cheerleading is more of, you know what I mean, like a sport, because you have many different teams that compete and they have a point system that they're judged on, and whoever has the most points uh-huh. wins. We don't have that in wrestling.
Right.
So even though AEW, you know, is making efforts to try and make it more sports-like,
yeah,
with records and, you know, taking the time to post it on social media that we know, it's still not a sport. You okay. see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, because in an actual match, how do we know? But at the end of the day, I tell people all the time, wrestling is like fake titties.
Oh.
They ain't real, but everybody's still enjoying. Ain't nobody complaining.
The quote for the day. Matt Michaels, please tell me that you're going to be the one that says you do believe it's a sport.
Fuck no. This is the dumbest fucking topic ever. You put way too much time and effort into this. It's fucking entertainment. It's not competitive. You are a fucking moron if you think that it is a sport, because it isn't a sport. And I don't even know why they even wrote this fucking thing by these two random people who, it was so fucking ridiculous just reading what they were saying that I just wanted to just kind of punch myself in the face. So, no.
Well, I'm glad you didn't punch yourself in the face.
Can I punch you in the face, Michaels?
Y'all could punch your own faces because y'all agreed with me.
You know what's so funny, y'all? Because it's a physical year, that's why we should punch Michaels in his face.
That's right. Hey, I think that everybody's missing the point on all these things tonight. The most important thing is that DJ Impact did not choose an article from Forbes.fucking.com.
Oh, no.
Hey, true enough.
Hey, I'm working on 2020. We're gonna get him on the show, and I'm gonna see if y'all gonna talk all that shit you guys talk about him when he's on. Okay, because I'm gonna tell him I'm a team player. Words, yeah.
hey. So in other words, yeah. DJ Impact, stop picking all the topics while he's sitting on the toilet. And Forbes.com is the only thing he's looking at.
Listen, I'll take the Forbes.com guy anytime over fucking yin and yang choosing if it's a sport or a fucking entertainment.
Well, speaking of entertainment,
what is yin and yang fusing? Is that like two chicks scissoring?
No. Hey-o. Well, look, speaking of entertainment, let's get right into how much we've been entertained with wrestling. I guess we probably should start with the pay-per-view, right? TLC? I'm curious as to...
Do we have to?
Was it that bad?
I don't know if it was that bad.
I think it was tables, ladders, and botches.
Oh, wow.
TLCB.
Well, let me start off with this. Let me start off with King Lucky on one thing. You've always been a hater, for whatever reason, of Buddy Murphy. And he's just shown to just be really great talent out there in the ring. Have you changed your mind at all since this match you had with Alistair, or you still don't really like him?
He's a great tactician.
Okay.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez. Listen.
Okay, go ahead.
I take nothing away from what he does. You know, I think, he has some great matches. His match on the pay-per-view with... Alistair was it was good. You know, it was probably
shut the fuck up. You don't even like 205 Live. You have an opinion on Buddy Murphy.
It was one of the better matches of the night. But yeah. No.
Okay.
Still indifferent.
What would y'all take on Bray Wyatt's entrance as Bray Wyatt? I actually liked that. I was pretty entertained. Was anyone else?
That was really cool.
Yeah. Sin City, what's your take on that? Would you into that?
I was not sports entertained.
Oh, damn. Okay.
No, in all seriousness, I oh my God, I wish that this show would have ended after the first roughly 45 minutes.
Yikes.
Because. Honestly, from there, it fell off a fucking cliff. King Lucky, you wouldn't know anything about this, but Humberto Carrillo and Andrade had an amazing match on the kickoff. I know that that's not your style of wrestling, and you love the hosses, and you love all sorts of boring shit. So, anyway, just do yourself a favor and watch that fucking match, because I'm sure you skipped over it, seeing who was involved.
That was a good match.
the tag title match of the night. The SmackDown Tag Championships, New Day versus The Revival, match of the night without question. And then Aleister Black and Bloody Murphy, that's obviously
yeah.
Freud party of one. But Aleister Black had a solid pace during that match. With a completely shattered nose.
Yeah.
And I will say this, though. What the fuck was up with his ring gear?
Dude, I was thinking the same thing with that half and half shit. I was like, oh my God, it's disgusting.
I don't need to see his black hole on the back on his ass. I don't need to see that.
So instead of black mass, you'd call it black ass?
Hey-o! No, that was bad. And then as far as, you know, the ending to the Viking Raiders OC match, don't even get me fucking started on that shit. whatever, just fuck off.
Was your high spot when they were eating KFC at the ring?
Dude, sign me the fuck up for that.
Front row seat eating KFC.
Boy, give me a fucking bucket of extra crispy and let me go to town. Hey.
Sin City Steve.
What's
for
up?
The rest of y'all? Y'all know damn well if y'all were in that situation with the KFC front row package and somebody spilled y'all chicken and some gravy, y'all gonna be mad as a motherfucker.
I would have grabbed the fucking bucket. There wasn't gonna spill shit.
Hey, was those dudes jobbers?
Was a newborn baby.
True that. Was those dudes jobbers?
I think no, they were legitimate fans.
Were they? Okay.
For real? That's a hell of a liability. I mean, just saying. You know what I mean? Because some shit could have went down.
Very true.
Wow. What's your guys' take on good old Kyrie say?
Hey, real quick, guys, just letting you know, I got to roll out because I'm about to lose signal.
I
just want to let y'all know.
It's all good. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for the time. I love each and one of y'all. And
okay.
I see y'all when I see you.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Later.
Kyrie saying, y'all, what's y'all take on her? I knew something was wrong when Charlotte got on that side of the ring with the chair, and she actually ran away from the shot. You never run away from a chair shot. I was like, oh, she must be really. And then, of course, you saw the communication between her and Becky down there, but I knew something was wrong when she ran away from that chair shot. What's y'all take on that? That match and everything that took place?
It's unfortunate because the last two shows now with Survivor Series and now this one,
yeah,
you have women's matches, which were meant to showcase the women, and did the total opposite. You know, this match came off a little clunky and weird at points, which should have been a good match, but it came off wrong for TV. And for me, the placement of the match also was not the right fit for the show, to end the show that way. Me personally, I would have ended the show with Daniel Bryan in the ring. You know, everybody else has their opinion, but Daniel Bryan probably deserved that ending of the night. So
why would he deserve it?
Why would you close the show
with the ring? He didn't fucking go and get his brain fucking transplanted or something.
Yeah, but it was clear that it was a turn, and it was clear that it was a moment for this arc of the story.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
How would you have done anything different, Michaels?
No. I mean, you know what? Get over it. Women are going to be closing, and I'll tell you right now that if there were matches over the last 20 years, you go back and you watch that WWE Network, which, by the way, Steve, you only paid $9.99 for. If you want, you can call them up and try to get a refund.
No, I'm good, bro.
Those matches that were guy matches. Oh, what is this? We got Rome calling or Simon. I'm sorry, whatever the fuck his name is.
He wants back in on the action. He wants the hot tag.
Continue.
But the fact of the matter is that there have been guy matches that have been main events that have totally sucked, and people aren't going, well, that shouldn't have been, you know, because it doesn't. They're not showcased, and they did that wrong the last 2 months now. Oh, it's so, just fucking give it up. It's, you know what? They did a fucking fine job, given the circumstance of someone getting a concussion during the match.
Huh.
You know, that's the thing. The thing is that I don't think the argument should be, oh, did it deserve to go on last, blah, blah, blah. No, it should be, should that match have continued to go, or should she have been pulled from the match?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Of course, it's a good point.
My argument wasn't, did they deserve to go on last? It was that, you know, to me, I think the other match that I had mentioned would have had more bite and finish in the show.
You're going to tell me that fucking crowd would have liked that match more?
Oh, without question.
With
the big reveal for Daniel Bryan and him and them doing the yes chant and close the show? Without question.
For fuck's sake. That's not the match. That's not the match. You could have had Daniel Bryan come out during the fucking women's match at the end, and the same thing would have happened.
shit.
Well,
like the WWE has a pay per view, let's shit on it. Yeah.
No, I actually thought the opposite. I actually enjoyed the show. There was just a few things that here and there I thought were, you know, average. But other than that, I really enjoyed the show. Even though
Steve
would have
been down with
most.
The KFC thing if it was in the fucking Tokyo Dome.
Motherfucker, I'm down with the KFC shit anywhere. Okay? I don't give a fuck where it is. I'm down with a bucket of KFC, all right?
By the way, KFC, if you're listening, we need sponsors.
Let me ask you this, Sin City. Have you been keeping up with, I'm sure you have, with AEW and the, you know, with the show and everything? The one question I have, though, I thought that they signed maybe 50 or 60, maybe even 70 talent. Why do I keep seeing the same people every week? I'm just out of curiosity.
Because you're not watching AEW Dark.
Okay. Is that okay?
And you also, Daryl, you got to remember, DJ, you have to actually delete an episode and watch the next one. So you've been watching the same episode for the last 7 weeks.
Shut up. I haven't. I haven't. Stop it. It's stupid.
Oh shit!
No, because Cody just gave a little boy $100 at the ringside. I was pretty upset. I wanted that $100 because it was real. Okay.
Wait a minute. Are you still in that episode?
I am a week behind. But still,
well, there you go. I mean, that's the problem.
No,
that's
it hasn't.
Part of the problem.
No. Listen, I've been keeping up all the way to that show. I'm just a week behind.
This fucking guy.
Anyway, Steve, you all right?
Why am I seeing the same fucking people when I'm only watching the same fucking episode?
Is that the best of 4-5 series? Because I've seen it 3 times now.
Y'all go to hell, man.
I probably will. Fuck. So the thing is, you know, you are seeing the same handful, of talent, but no, they definitely didn't sign 70 talents, D.
Okay.
That's definitely not the case. You are seeing the same talents over and over. And I think that is somewhat of a detriment to some things. But at the same time, you got to figure a lot of the television audience, they've not seen most of these people before. So if we look at everything and we go back to when we first started talking about AEW, we discussed that they needed to have the fans develop an emotional attachment to these characters.
Yeah.
Obviously, repetition can be one way of doing it.
Yeah.
Would I like to see them change up the individuals featured on the show? I definitely think that they could do a better job of it. But at the end of the day, this is the path that they're going down, for better or for worse. I'm still playing some sort of a, you know, wait and see approach with it. I'm not overly happy with a lot of the AEW stuff. It almost feels complacent, at least as of recently.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, when you're comparing it to NXT,
you know what I don't like. I'm sorry to butt in, man. You know what I don't like? Why does Jericho got to come out at a minimum of 2 times during the show? But sometimes it may even be a third. I don't need to see you.
He's the only name talent they got.
Why was Stone Cold in 18 different segments in the Attitude Era?
Because he was selling shit.
Just like Jericho.
And Jericho is as well.
He's the only name talent they have on their roster.
But it's just weird that he'll be at the beginning and he might come out in the middle and then he might come back at the end. I mean, I don't need to see it that many times. I don't know. Keep going. I'm sorry, man.
No, you're good, man. You're good. I think that something that needs to be addressed as far as NXT.
Okay.
And I know that I'm probably jumping the gun on it a little bit, is the fact that almost always they tend to have the best match that, you know, out of the Wednesday Night Wars. But typically I've been given the edge to AEW as far as best overall show. There have been some exceptions to that. Seriously, there have been some exceptions to that, especially recently. But when you've got matches in the middle of the show that, you know, are such as like the fucking the Cameron Grimes Raul Mendoza match, for instance, and then immediately you follow that up with Travis Banks against one of Lucky's favorite people, Jackson Riker from the Forgotten Sons.
I'm sorry it's not Orange Cassidy.
Dang. It'd be a lot cooler if it was.
Yeah, it'd be a lot cooler, but it wouldn't be good. Right? Right? Because that's not wrestling. That's entertainment.
Okay.
He doesn't wrestle.
Okay. And we just fucking told everybody in the history of the world that we don't think that it's a fucking sport.
Right. So
if you can't be fucking entertained, then what the fuck?
Right. So the question that comes down to, how is it that you, who is the purest of this group, can look at AEW and see an Orange Cassidy match and go, I like that more than, you know, Elizabeth Banks wrestling Ernie the Cat. Whatever the hell matches they had.
So ultimately, I am a fan of shows that have a little something for everybody. Now, if every single fucking thing on AEW was a comedy match or, you know, a gimmick match or whatever the fuck, then there might be an issue. But I'm gonna laugh at characters like Orange Cassidy because I'm gonna take him at face value, and that's what he is. As long as he's not being pushed to the moon as their heavyweight champion, I'm fine with it.
So, what was more entertaining on their show than those middle matches on NXT?
What do you mean? In the segment,
what would you rather be seeing? Like, what are you seeing on AEW that you like more in the middle than on NXT?
I'm not gonna lie. The MJF promo is fucking money. The dude could literally go out there and read words from a menu, read the phone book, if to use a dated saying, and he would make it fucking awesome. As far as, you know, other matches and things of that nature, the fucking main event on AEW this past week, the fucking street fight was fucking awesome.
No, that's the main event. Should be fucking awesome.
Right.
Big problem. What I'm saying, though, is that the NXT and AEW main events in the beginning of the shows, we're ruling those out because those are, you know, those are going to be your high spots.
Mm-hmm.
The middle.
Yeah.
So you gave me a promo.
Okay. So I'll even take the Omega and Paige tag team match against Sabian and Spears. That was in the middle of the show.
This is my problem with it. So you'll take that match, but this is the match in which we have Tully Blanchard taped to a chair on the fucking ring entrance. Like, what the fuck?
I'll tell you one thing. I am getting more invested into, and I was critical of their portrayal of the Dark Order. I think that the vignettes that they've been doing have definitely been much needed, because you're now telling a story about this group that before a lot of the shows, they were making it a prominent, you know, feature. So now they're doing a better job of that. But I will say that they still, to me, need a leader of this group for the Dark Order to be successful. But everybody right now is doing dark stuff on AEW, you know, and it seems a little repetitive. And I know we've probably covered that. But I'd like to see a leader in that group.
Well, get Kevin Sullivan. And speaking of groups, what the fuck is going on with Brandi Rhodes and the Jesus. Fucking Straight Edge Society? Please, please, that's in the middle of the show. What is that?
Well, they're building something, so we have to take a wait and see approach.
Oh,
yeah. But elsewhere, one of the things that I would like to bring up that was big news from this week was the villain,
yes,
showing up at NWA.
True.
Into the fire. So that's kind of a little bit of a shock, because you think naturally he would join AEW.
Well, he's still there. I think, according to what was said, he was going to do an independent show. In fact, it even was said that he was going to do a few shows still for ROH, you know, spotty checks here and there, until he actually gets signed with AEW, if they are the ones. I mean, right now, that's the way it's looking for AEW, but according to what was read, he's going to still do some spots for them here and there, and for other independent company. So yeah.
Right, but what's interesting is that NWA is promoting tomorrow that he is going to be on the show and talking about what his future is. So, you know,
he's done in ROH.
Yeah, he's definitely done in ROH, but I think
Lucky, your big signing is you're putting him in the NWA.
No. No, but I do find it interesting to see where this develops, because of, you know, where everybody would assume he would go, which is AEW. But he also took pictures at Full Sail University, you know, on a couple posts ago, where, you know, he was teasing maybe he's going to NXT.
Well, he also took him. Picture at your mom's place, but you know, you know,
he's
with your
mom's now, he signed with her, actually.
Ooh. How do you mean that?
He put his John Hancock in her.
Oh yeah. Boy. Did he dip his pen before he signed?
No, it was actually the umbrella.
Ah.
Let me ask you this, King, and I know you already saw tonight's airing of Raw, so just take that out of play. All right, what's your take when you see Seth teaming up with AOP? And does that seem like that's a really good sort of fit or storyline? I love AOP. I'm just trying to see. I'm trying to see why I have them together.
You had to do something with them, and to me, they missed an opportunity last night at the pay-per-view to further that angle with Sin City Steve, a.k.a. Kevin Owens. For you guys that haven't seen Sin City Steve, he is definitely Kevin Owens reincarnated. But I think I don't have any issue with Seth Rollins being with AOP. Seth needed a change.
Yeah,
AOP needed to get something going, and I thought it was a perfect fit. I would have liked to see them further the story on the pay per view with them, but yeah, okay. I'm sold.
Okay, all right.
I think what you really need to do though is group collectively. Call them the POS.
please enlighten us. Why?
Well, because they're heels, so it would just be natural to call them the pieces of shit.
What do you guys make of the new group with Baron Corbin?
Well, you mean every heel who's not getting a push, let's just throw them with Baron Corbin so everyone who doesn't get a push...
Exactly.
Yeah. Sure, why not?
The fucking unpushables.
Yikes. You know,
Dolph Ziggler is like Ted McGinley. If he comes onto your series or he goes into your film, it's dead within fucking 2 years.
Ouch.
Damn. Holy shit.
Damn. And
Dolph is a hell of a worker.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great worker, but look at everything he touches turns. Where's Drew McIntyre been since he was with Dolph? Killed his career.
Yeah.
Every time you do something with Dolph, it kills that other person's career.
Well, there's Dolph Ziggler not coming on the show.
Look
at it. Look at the track record.
Yeah.
There's something about putting people, either working with them or as a tag team or working against them, that if you work with Dolph, all of a sudden your career is tanked. And that's probably because Vince doesn't appreciate Dolph.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
Sadly.
Well, with the last 4 minutes we have left, I will say this, Sin City. I know you wasn't hyped about the show, but I did read, for some reason, I guess, Vince nor Triple H was at the show last night. So somebody else was running it. So we can't put the blame on them, right? We have to put the blame
fucking
on
Stephanie.
Uh-oh.
No.
She's probably
no,
like,
who knows? They've got 85 fucking writers in that goddamn company. So I'm sure that it was one of them. Or maybe all 85 of them. Who knows?
Steve, just go with the truth. We all know it. It was Russo.
No. No. There would have been a lot more swerves, bro.
Right.
If it was Russo. And there would have been a match with some random shit on a pole.
It would have been a KFC match.
Random shit, it would have been KFC.
Yeah.
A drumstick on a match pole.
Yeah.
Well, with that, King Lucky, final words, and we also want to remind folks again, we do have this big show coming up in a couple of days. King Lucky, what you want to say, man?
Yeah, we've got the live show. Come out and support us. You guys, we've definitely, in the first year of this podcast, have enjoyed the support that everybody's given us. We have reached 20 different countries and in terms of our reach with the podcast. And I just want to thank everybody for listening and enjoying the show and supporting us.
No doubt. Sin City Steve, man, what final words you got for us?
Without a doubt. Thank you to everybody who's listening to us, who has listened to us, whoever's listening to us in the future. It's really humbling. And I haven't been on this journey since day one. I joined in a little bit late, but, I thank you guys for bringing me into the fold. This year's been pretty awesome, to say the very least. And the best is yet to come. I know that that's cliche and corny and all that other kind of shit. I think one thing that's notable is that of the countries, pretty high up on the list is motherfucking Parts Unknown.
Parts Unknown.
Shout out. So that's cool. But yeah, it breaks me up that I can't be at the live show this week, but I know that you guys will kill it, and I'm sure that at least the people there actually seeing things will, they'll have Sandra Moon taking my place, so that's going to be an upgrade for sure. So, in any event, y'all have fun, and I will definitely be checking in. And as soon as that audio becomes available, I will be checking it out. So Awesome.
All right, cool. Matt Michaels giving you the final word tonight.
Butter.
Jesus.
Is that your final word for tonight?
Butter. See, if I say anything else, then it's not a final word, so butter.
All right, well, we'll just leave it there. You guys can come check us out again this Thursday, Boulder Station. We will be there 6 o'clock. Show will be a little bit after 7, though. Be there at 6. We have to do a 3-count there. It should be pretty exciting, all right? Thank you all for listening. Tell your friends to subscribe. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yourself, make sure you do that. You've been listening to the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, and we out. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.